You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Good evening. We begin tonight with facts. In the face of one political party's attempt to whitewash history at home and abroad. Now, this isn't about policy differences or the philosophical distinctions between Democrats and Republicans. It's simply about fact versus fiction. The GOP's willingness to cynically embrace fiction and the damage this is doing.
Wow. There you have it. Anderson Cooper, CNNNN, Cooper Cottonmouth. This is Juneteenth, 2021, now a federal holiday. We're going to get in that later. But here we're CNN Cooper and talking about how the libs and Cooper and the state-controlled media, they suddenly have brand new, serious, genuine concern about law enforcement officers who were attacked. Well, wait a minute. They're not concerned about all the law officers who were attacked. Only those who were at the Capitol Hill police mostly, on January 6th. They're going to dismiss all the events over the summer and before as Antifa, BLM, and just anarchists in general attacked and battled police in their face, throwing Molotov cocktails at them, rocks, frozen bottles, bags of urine, whatever they could in that fashion. They didn't say word one about we need to recognize what these men and women are doing on the front line for us. Even Pelosi was saying at the time about the rioting taking place, the looting, the arson. Well, sometimes people are going to do what they're going to do. I'm not going to justify what happened January 6th. I never have. I've said repeatedly they were misguided if they consider themselves to be patriots. And then again, a lot of them in there, they were just following the crowd, and they were not really pushing or battling police. They walked in because everything was open. And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that those attacking police then should be compared directly to those attacking police elsewhere across our nation, be it Portland, Seattle, L.A., wherever. But that does not fit the narrative the left is now pushing. We'll get into that in more detail. And Dr. Fake, he says he's spinning faster than a helicopter blade. I never said COVID couldn't come from a lab leak. In fact, I've always been saying that. Really? Well, then what else had he said? Scientists now admitting they suspect a lab leak, but admit they also didn't speak out. They were afraid of being canceled or maybe linked to Trump. Maybe tied to racist rhetoric. So they weren't being scientists at that point. They were being either leftist politicians or being leftist pawns to be moved around the board. Follow the science or follow the scientist and see if they really are scientists. That Biden-Putin summit, Fred Flights, President Center for Security Policy, said Biden just set U.S. security back. Plus, another action he's doing is actually arming Hamas terrorists. Biden got hit with a question, by the way. One he didn't like, he went off on the reporter, later apologized. The CNN reporter said, that's okay, he didn't need to apologize. You remember how many times Trump might fire back at a reporter? And all they would just go ballistic on him. Biden, you get a pass. In the meantime, there's serious questions being raised again. Is Biden mentally capable to continue the job? Does he need to take a cognitive test as they had Trump do? Trump took it, scored 30-30 apparently, of what we were told, that perfect. Now, you have to keep in mind, there's the devil you know and the devil you don't. If Biden were to take a test and score, I don't know, way down in the bottom, the 25th Amendment could come into play because the Democrats would start gathering their forces And, of course, the VP has to sign off if they're going to remove the president in that fashion. I told you from the beginning, I'll bet she signed that paper the day she took her oath of office. Use it when you're ready. We have a special close scheduled for today as we celebrate Father's Day. And be thankful if you still have your father. Plus, a traditional business trying to destroy itself as it tries to be woke. This makes no sense whatsoever. I don't care what your standards for purity and Puritan approach is, but Victoria's Secret is going upside down. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You actually say scientists are getting more comfortable discussing this possibility that COVID could have leaked from a lab in China. Speaking of five virologists about their thoughts on how COVID originated, and they say the scientific evidence remains unchanged. So what, in fact, did change over the last year?
Well, I think the change in the political climate in this country played at least a small role here. Some of the people that I've spoken to have said that, you know, if you remember sort of last year, there were scientists who spoke up about the possibility of a lab leak, or at least the need to investigate this possibility. But there was a lot of racist rhetoric that was surrounding this topic. The pandemic had been very politicized. And so there was at least some hesitation among some individuals to really be very vocal about it. And they were worried that their words would be misconstrued or that they would be fueling some of this racist rhetoric.
Well, there you have it, that some scientists were afraid that they might be politicized or adding fuel to racist rhetoric. That is reference to the fact that President Trump was saying it's the China flu, Wuhan flu, came from China. That's supposed to be racist. It's simply identifying the source. That was an exchange taking place on NBC between one of their anchors and a reporter, Denise Chow, the science reporter for NBC, who had done an extensive look at some of these scientists and what they've been doing and how they are, in fact, in some cases, just flipping or acknowledging suddenly that, yeah, it could have come as a lab leak as opposed to the wet market. Or they are acknowledging, yeah, we already thought it could, but we didn't want to say anything about it. So they're not going to be scientists at that point. Is that right? They're going to serve political wishes and whims. And on one hand, maybe fearful that if they say something like that at that point, well, my God, everything will crash down on them. Because Fauci was still saying, oh, no, it's a wet market, it's a wet market. But you have a hard time pinning down Fauci on what he said and when he said it and everything else. There are a lot of tapes that exist. I don't have time to go through all of them, but you yourself know that he had said repeatedly, oh, no. It was not a lab leak. So this NBC report basically proving, and again, NBC is no great conservative bastion of journalism. We have seen Lester Holt, their NBC anchor the other day, do an excellent job on pinning down Kamala Harris about when is she going to go to the border and kept pressing her. I tell you again, I give him props for doing so. So here is the NBC science reporter saying that, yeah, some of these scientists, and an unforgivable but very revealing act of science, admit now they misled the country for more than a year. Because they did not want to be tied to the possibility of anything that would fuel racist rhetoric that this virus came out of China, out of the Wuhan lab. And remember, China even at one point saying, oh, the U.S. started this, not us. One of the scientists had published a letter in the journal Science last month calling for a more in-depth investigation into the virus's origins, taking into account theories about both natural occurrence and lab spillovers. Well, that letter helped kickstart a new round of calls to investigate the lab leak hypothesis, including demands from President Joe Biden and several leading scientists. But the problem and the issue was they had already had that suspect. They'd already looked down that road. But they didn't want to say anything about it. And again, Dr. Fauci now, you talk about trying to cover his tracks. He did a Meet the Press episode with Chuck Todd about a week ago. And when you listen to Dr. Fake here, he's been correct all along. You just didn't understand it. Go ahead.
All of us have always realized, and I feel this way, I haven't changed. Most of the scientists that I know feel that way, that the most likely origin is a natural origin from an animal reservoir to human. However, we have not ruled out the possibility that there could have been a leak from the lab of them working on the virus. It could have been that someone was infected early on, they brought him into the lab and it came out of the lab, but it was already out in the community. But all of us have been open-minded enough to know that until you nail down exactly what it is, you always must leave open the possibility with an open mind that there could be a leak.
Did you follow that? Most scientists believe it came from the wet market, but we got to keep our mind open on the leak. But you weren't doing it at the time when Trump was saying that. You were basically denying it. That was an interview piece he did with Chuck Todd, Meet the Press, about a week ago. Now he's being quoted in the USA Today about a conference call, taking place February 1, 2020, several months ago. And last year, this is just days after the World Health Organization did raise the alert level on COVID-19, then calling it a public health emergency of international concern. This was after China said, no big deal. World Health Organization echoed their remarks. Fauci said, oh, you don't need to worry about it. It won't be a little bit like the flu. And when Trump said it, everybody attacked him. And they only look at what Trump said. They don't want to remember that. But USA Today was discussing that conference call of Feb 1, 2020 with Dr. Fake. And he said, oh, I remember it very well. We decided on the call the situation really needed to be looked into carefully. You think? And an email to Fauci the day before the call and reviewed by Fox News of one of those emails that came out. One of those scientists, Christian Anderson, an expert in infectious disease at Scripps Research Institute in California, said the unusual features of this virus make up a really small part of the genome, so one has to look really closely at all the sequences to see, listen up please, to see that some of the features potentially look engineered. Gain-of-function research is what she's suggesting. Or the code, of course, gain-of-function means weaponizing. And Fauci is telling USA Today this week, oh, yeah, that meeting was productive, back-and-forth conversation, where some on the call felt it could be possibly an engineered virus. But he did not relay that possibility. He said, oh, I always had an open mind, as you just heard. And I want you to listen to something else he says here. This is back to the Chuck Todd interview. And I have a real difficult point, I should say, concern about his remarks, and I'll explain why. Just listen, please.
When a scientist says they feel that the most likely etiology, the most likely origin is, in this case, natural, that doesn't mean there's a closed mind to it being a leak. Even though many people feel, myself included, that still the most likely origin is a natural one.
I'm going to ask Quentin to play the first part of that again, because what he said in the beginning just disturbs me to a great deal. Go ahead.
When a scientist says they feel...
There it is. When a scientist says they feel, I don't know how many times I've tried to, over the years, teach younger reporters and say, feel is like you're reaching out with your hands and touching it. You're talking about an emotion. So you're talking about the mayor feels this bill will help the city, or he thinks. In other words, it's an opinion. I would expect the scientist to work off of opinions, not feelings. Now, you know, if you pin Fauci down on that, say, well, I meant the same thing. It's the same thing. It is not really, but that's just one of my quirks that you need to know the difference between feel as an emotion or reaching out to touch and have an actual response to what you touch, as opposed to an opinion, you think. But maybe they were operating on this kind of emotion, because part of the emotion was you got to be careful you don't get wrapped up in all the racial rhetoric that Trump's throwing around, which he never was throwing racial rhetoric. He was talking about China. And so when Nancy Pelosi shows up in Chinatown, say, come to Chinatown, have lunch with me. It's all good here. These are good people. He never one time said any Chinese in America, be they here legally or illegal, said they had anything to do with the Wuhan virus. But he was constantly chastised by, at that time, the mainstream media, now the state-controlled media. You need to quit calling it China. You're causing attacks on Chinese in the U.S. I saw something, I think, and I couldn't put my finger on it moments ago. I suddenly remember. I think I saw something. You know, you've heard about the Delta strain that supposedly come forward, a new variant surfaced originally in U.K. and might now be in the U.S. Then I saw something about maybe there's a Texas strain. Well, by God, let's don't call it a Texas COVID, because you're on my territory now. You're stepping on my blue suede shoes. My redneck gets really hot when you do that. If that's where this new strain originated, then identify it. And again, I don't know if they actually, but of course, the other point is it really the origin, or is it a variant of what came out of Wuhan? And what do we know about Wuhan anyway? Are we getting any answers? It's bad enough that we've got scientists lying to us, or at least not giving us all the details, and kind of also pushing a theory, an emotion of how it happened, but also holding back on another real possibility. So the NBC science reporter was talking about as well as to, can we really get something out of China that would be meaningful if we do an investigation? Again, this is Denise Chow, NBC science reporter, and what she says, you already knew. Listen.
There were all sorts of questions about how forthcoming and transparent China was during this investigation, and a lot of questions had not been answered. The researchers who were on the ground in Wuhan did not have full access to records, to data. So a lot of these calls have come sort of in response to suspicions that China is not sort of giving over all the information that we would need in order to get to the bottom of this question.
How forthcoming is China being now in these investigations?
They've talked about, you know, cooperating with further investigations with the World Health Organization, but it's really difficult to say. It's very difficult to have sort of an independent investigation in China because everything sort of relies on the cooperation of the government there. So a lot of people are thinking that, you know, we won't get real straight answers from any kind of joint investigation with China. At the same time, you can't really have an investigation in China without their cooperation. So it's a bit of a catch-22 in that regard.
Yeah, we're not likely getting anything from them. And if you go in the lab now, you're going to see only what they want you to see anyway. And yet we've got some on the left that just will say, well, that's probably true. I mean, they already buy it. They buy the Iran story that we have no nuclear weapons close to production, but they won't let you go in and inspect anything. It's all about being gullible. So the question here again is, and let me remind you, by the way, this is being stressed the other day by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. The Wuhan Institute is still operational and probably still undergoing gain-of-function research. And the scientists and the left tell us, follow the science, when they're really laying out a trail of crumbs that are based on politics. And speaking of that, how that's affecting our military, coming up, stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Coming up in the next segment, we're going to be joined by Fred Flights, the president, CEO of Center for Security Policy. And he says this Biden-Putin summit the other day, that Biden set back U.S. security. In other words, put us in more harm's way and jeopardy going forward. And he's also pointing out that Biden is in the process of helping arm Hamas terrorists. That'll be coming up in the next segment. But when we look at our military and what we're dealing with now, and of course I pointed out to you yesterday a piece by Captain Stadler with the Heritage Foundation, we're way behind on our shipbuilding. While China continues to quickly raise its force, we already know the military itself, our troops and our vehicles, we have problems there. We know our planes, we need more and better and improved, and we can't keep them flying as often as they should. We can't afford to have the pilots get the training they need as often as they should. And yet we could still find a way to push the CRT, critical race theory, as they're trying to do it in the schools, also into the military. We can still spend money on that and make that happen. I want to share something with you. This is off of, let me get the source again. This would be, it's off of Breitbart, and I can't recall their exact where they're getting it. But I always want to make sure you know where the source. I don't try to hide that from you. And yes, Breitbart is a conservative operation. Talking about an Army Lieutenant Colonel Andrew Rhodes, commander of the 1st Battalion, 8th Infantry Regiment, 3rd Regiment Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division at Fort Carson. Can you follow all that? He's under inquiry, preliminary, because he allegedly told troops that white people are the problem. Now, he's also white. He apparently told soldiers that equal opportunity and sexual harassment, assault response, and prevention were very important for him. He'd take every accusation seriously. Good. He believed there was only a 0.01% false accusation rate. And then he apparently said, white people are the problem. That white people correcting white people is a way to fix the culture in the military, and soldiers could not depend on minorities to correct the majority. One of the sources apparently giving the information to Breitbart News said, I agree with some of the statements, but I believe it sets a dangerous standard for abusing the already broken programs. They have these programs, as we said, equal opportunity and sexual harassment, assault, response, and prevention. Those are important things. I'm not going to deny that one bit. But now we're getting commanders saying that if you're white, you are guilty and that you are part of the problem automatically. See, in the military, let me put it this way. From what I know, in the Marines, your color didn't mean anything. You were a green. If you were a Marine, you were green. No one cared if you were black, white, yellow, red. They didn't care about your religion. As long as you knew your job and you were going to carry it out, and you would be there to protect the six of your fellow Marines. And the DI that was on your face in boot camp, be he black or white, and the recruit being black or white, no one said, I'm a white person. Please don't, you can't yell at me like that. Or the other way around. You stood there and took it, or you were out. But we're so pushing this woke culture. This is not going to help the military. And what we need at this point is we deal with Russia and China. Do you think they have any concerns about being woke? All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Fred Flights, president for Center for Security Policy, on what Biden did to endanger us around the world. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around under 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So my guest we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him, expert in every field, Fred Flights, President, Center for Security Policy, years with the CIA, Department of Defense, House Intel. Glad to have you on board again, Fred. Hello, Fred. Can you hear me? We had him and we lost him. We're going to try to figure that out real quick. We'll try to get him back on the air. Fred Flights is, as I said, the president and CEO of the Center for Security Policy. He has served previously as the chief of staff of the National Security Council, and as I said, held numerous national security jobs with the CIA, the Department of Defense, and wonder if they got to his phone and shut it down or something. We had him on the line, and then suddenly he's gone. That's the strangest thing we've ever had happen. I'm beginning to think somebody is right. They told me the other day, said, some of these technical problems you guys are suddenly having, do you think? I said, no, let's don't go down that road. Let's don't start another conspiracy theory. And yet, I'm beginning to wonder. So Fred, of course, does a lot of writing and appearances for numerous other operations on Newsmax and various networks from time to time. And also writes various pieces. Fred, we got you established now. We got you back. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, I'm here.
There, good. I don't know what's going on. I thought maybe they kidnapped you and took you away and put you in a bunker somewhere. All right. You can hear me and I can hear you. That's good.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay, we got you now. So I'm looking at a piece you wrote for Newsmax based off of the Biden-Putin summit. And you flat out say it was a net setback for American interest and security, and not just for America, but for humankind. Go ahead. Well, for some reason, it's not working. This is the first time we've ever had that problem with Fred on his phone. So, Fred, I hear you.
Hey, Larry, I think I can hear you now.
Okay, now you can hear us. Okay, so I was talking about the piece you wrote the other day for Newsmax about the summit between Biden and Putin was pretty pointless and, in fact, endangering our security and humankind security.
Well, you know, if you listen to Biden's people, they say they had some great achievements, that they agreed to exchange ambassadors and lower tensions. I don't think any of that is true, but what is certainly true is the contrast between the two presidents after the summit. Biden came off as inept, confused, and weak. Putin was very confident and belligerent. In front of the international press, he just went into all kinds of propaganda, blaming the U.S. for cyber attacks, claiming that opposition leader, the opposition leader he's imprisoning is an American agent. I just think the contrast and the outrageous propaganda that Putin put forward really hurt the United States and Biden.
So you're talking about the way it went down, and when you say it was a setback for American interest, it's showing us to be weak and effective? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's right. I mean, Putin completely ignored all Biden's tough talk and blamed, basically all the things that Biden was claiming on the United States, claiming that it's the U.S. committing cyber attacks. At one point, and this was incredible, he said that Biden called him to walk back, calling Putin a killer in an ABC interview. And Putin said that he accepted that explanation, and then he went on to attack the United States and the U.S. military for being killers. It was just incredible.
And, of course, Biden got, when he was leaving, he got so upset with a reporter throwing a question to him that he went off on her instead of Putin. Now, the other thing, by the way, before we get too far down that road, there's increasingly calls by some Republicans, and this would include Ronny Jackson, who had at one time, been with Trump, and he's an MD, and that he was President Trump's doctor, and he supposedly gave him that cognitive test. But Jackson and other Republicans saying maybe Biden needs to have a cognitive exam. What's your thought on that?
Well, I mean, nobody wants to talk about that. And look, he's our president. I wish him well. But his performance didn't look good. The long lapses during his discussions, the fact that he just didn't seem to know where he was or what he was talking about. And one can imagine how he performed behind closed doors with the Russian president. I just think that by conveying weakness, this is inherently destabilizing.
Well, the other thing, when I talk about, all that call right now is coming from the Republicans, but the Democrats have to be, they're seeing the same thing. And that's why Kamala's there anyway. She didn't go to be VP. She's there to take the Oval Office, the first, and the 25th Amendment, if he won't go, she has to sign off on it. I've said repeatedly, I think she probably signed that 25th Amendment on the day of her inauguration.
I think the Democrats are very well aware of that. But then they see the vice president's performance, which has been bad in other ways.
Yeah.
The fact that she won't go to the border, that she can't seem to handle a hostile reporter any better than Biden can.
You had another piece you did that appeared originally in American Greatness, where you were referring to the State Department and a term, good sanctions hygiene, which you're going to need to explain to me, but you're saying that will rearm the Hamas terrorist. Please explain that.
You know, I sanctions hygiene seems to be the Biden administration's term for dropping sanctions against Iran that they don't like. I frankly don't understand how they came up with that term. But what's happening here is that as we move towards a nuclear deal with Iran, we will be giving Iran billions of dollars in sanctions relief. And the last time we did that, they increased their military budget by 90%, and they gave huge amounts of funds to Hamas and to other terrorist groups. And that's going to happen again. They will be rearming Hamas. if Biden officials rejoin the nuclear deal.
I really thought, even if you're a political enemy of Trump, that the other side would see that that was dangerous. But the way they look at and they accept the anti-Semitic remarks constantly from Congresswoman Omar and the others, Israel, we're not showing a firm stand with Israel anymore. And I think that's going to be very threatening to us in the Middle East because they are our only true trusted friend in that region.
I think the Israelis must be in a very bad place right now because the Biden administration has been so extremely hostile, has ignored all of Israel's concerns about the nuclear deal. Israel has its own concerns with the tumult within the Israeli government. So I think that the Israelis are very worried about the security right now.
All right. So Israel has to be worried about what their security is all around them. And we just saw Biden and Putin, and Biden, I agree, did not look that. He came out and talked tough to the reporters when he's reading his prepared remarks or whatever, and calling on reporters only that were on his list, which is another thing that ticks me off to no end. But China was also watching all of this. How do you think they're evaluating?
I think at NATO and at the G7 summit and at this Putin-Biden summit, China got off really easy. There was no mention of genocide. There was no mention of human rights violations by China. China was treated as a competitor. And China objected to the very mild criticism in the NATO summit final statement. But really, there was no serious criticism of China. I think this is going to give the Chinese a green light to continue their current behavior.
I have to ask you, and to obviously the extent you can say anything, and based obviously on what you know that you can also say, our intel agencies, I think, are going to be more critical now going forward as far as dealing and finding out what's happening, not just with the terrorists like Hamas and so forth, but with Russia and with China. Are our intel sources really locked down and solid at this point, or are they kind of waffling?
I'm worried that our intelligence agencies will produce what Biden wants to hear. We really have to have some ethical intelligence officers to tell the truth, and if they're not being allowed to tell the truth, to come forward and to lodge whistleblowing complaints. I think this is a crucial time, and that's really what we need right now, ethical, courageous intelligence officers.
Well, in the years that you were serving as a deputy assistant to the president and then chief of staff and National Security Council and various national security jobs, so you saw and heard a lot of that. How would you compare the mindset of intel agents at that point to where we are now?
I'm afraid I've seen intelligence agencies increasingly politicized, incredible pressure to put out politically correct analysis. And we saw this on China. I think the intelligence agencies strongly believe that the virus originated from the Wuhan lab, but it refuses to say so for political reasons. And I would like to see the analysts who actually believe that come forward. I'm sure they're out there.
Well, before you joined us in our first segment, we were talking about an NBC science reporter that was talking about some of the scientists are now admitting, yeah, we did not jump into saying it came from the lab, although it's a great possibility. But we were afraid we would be targeted as racist, adding to racist rhetoric, and a Trump supporter, and that was not a good time for science to get in. Your final thoughts on that?
Well, the intelligence analysts already admitted they did that concerning Chinese meddling in the 2020 election. I'm pretty sure they also did that concerning the virus.
All right. Fred, again, we thank you very much. Enjoy your weekend, sir.
Okay, you too. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. Fred Flights, President, CEO of Center for Security Policy. So coming up, one of the businesses you might well know, you might not even like, but you know, is making a major, major change. Could destroy itself. Victoria's Secret.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Walter Schaub is the director of the U.S. Office of Government Ethics under Obama at the time. And he's saying the Biden administration is sending an FU to the ethics experts by hiring so many relatives of senior White House officials. Talking about Press Secretary Jen Psaki, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, NSA advisor Jake Sullivan, Senior Advisor Nita Dunn, Deputy Chief of Staff Bruce Reed, so forth and so on. And Schaub said, I'm sorry, I know some folks don't like hearing any criticism of him, talking about Biden, but this royally sucks. I'm disgusted. Looking at how family ties of Biden officials are all linked together, he said, a lot of us worked hard to tee Biden up to restore ethics to government and believed his promises. But as you look at the string of the family-related hires, it is a real FU to us in government ethics. That's very interesting. In fact, Schaub added, even the effing head of presidential personnel who's supposed to be keeping them honest has a child who's a recent college grad working in the Biden administration. And the spouse of the White House chief of staff, he says, for crying out loud. Wow. Think you hear anything else about that on the state-controlled media? No, I wouldn't wait on it. State-controlled media is quickly pointing out that Joe Biden is the most LGBTQ-friendly president in U.S. history. USA Today doing a big puff article on how much he's doing for the LGBTQ community, more so than Obama did. Of course, Obama, when he first came in, was against same-sex marriage, but then later said, well, I had a change of mind and kind of went with it. Bill Clinton had professed it, but was always wary of the politics of gay rights. And I would remind you, there are many gays that are members of the log cabin Republicans, basically Republicans who are gay. So they got a lot of conservatives that are gay, not just Democrats. So you shouldn't put that label on anyone. Their sexual preference doesn't necessarily say how they vote or what they believe. Now, since I walked myself in a nice way into reference to sex in one way or the other, I'm sure you know about Victoria's Secret. Be honest with me. Maybe you never bought anything from there. Maybe you never wore anything from there or bought for someone else. It's a decades-old brand. Of course, they always had this TV thing they would do from time to time that was basically all these beautiful, tall, statuesque ladies with wings wearing different Victoria's Secret items. And we're not talking about hoodies and sweatshirts. We're talking about intimate personnel. Covering, clothing, linen. But now they think we need to, in fact, according to the former chief executive, yeah, it's probably time for the angels to go because Victoria's Secret has to find a way to move forward while maintaining existing customers. Now, she's no longer there. I said she's the former chief executive. Well, whoever is there right now making a decision that they have decided to hire as a spokeswoman, Megan Rapinoe. You know, the face of U.S. soccer, but now also be a new face of Victoria's Secret. So here we have Victoria's Secret doing something. I'm looking at a piece written by John Nolte of Breitbart. He says, what you have here is a company that's just going to blow itself up. He said, there's no poll anywhere in the world, even from the fake media, that backs up the idea the general public is anywhere close to embracing this kind of anti-human nature wokeness. He also said no one really going to find or even wants to hear something from Megan Rapinoe reference Victoria's Secret underthings. In fact, he writes, no one wants to think any of this when they're thinking about sex. That's what Victoria's Secret's supposed to be about, sex. Sex is supposed to be sexy. Sex is supposed to be fun. Sex is supposed to be carefree. It's, again, John Nolte's remarks, not mine. He said, is it opposite day at Victoria's Secret? Because cross-dressing, obesity, bitterness, humorlessness have to, as much to do with sexy and fun as CNN, LOL does with the news. He said, it's going to be a blast to watch. Well, Megan Rapinoe already has a little problem pop up as well. See, the woke culture, they can lift you up, but they can also bring you down and destroy you. So right after Victoria's Secret announces that Megan Rapinoe, the face of U.S. soccer, is going to be also the face of Victoria's Secret, somebody digs up a tweet she wrote more than 10 years ago. It's not clear as to who she's responding to or what the original message was. The user, according to the group that found it, does not appear to have a Twitter account anymore. But supposedly it did belong to Natasha Kai, a former U.S. Olympian who played professional soccer. Born in Hawaii, Megan said something about, "Look, you look Asian with those closed eyes." Well, social media saying, "That's racist." I'll be racist and wearing Victoria's Secret. What a combination, huh? Coming up the next hour, how CNN is trying to show I'm really concerned about cops. Right.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.